reason why that the Psalms is encouraging us not to be just surrounded by the things of the world is this, is because if you are not meditating on Scripture, you are meditating on something. There's something in your life, and there are things that you value and that you obsess about or that you worry about. And really what is going on there is that you are meditating on those things. You are thinking about those things. You are treasuring them above all else. And so, and the Bible makes it very clear. It says that if you do not meditate on God's word, then you're meditating on the things of this world. And the things that are here, it says that you will be like chaff that is blown away by the wind. It says that you will not stand in God's judgment. I mean, you will not be able to stand under God's judgment. And it also says that the way of the wicked will perish. If we are not meditating on God's word, then we are meditating on this world. You know, but then it says, blessed is the man who doesn't meditate on this world in a sense. But verse 2 says, his delight is on the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That word law, you know, it's not that we're supposed to just read the Ten Commandments over and over again and just go, you know, do not murder, things like that, you know, do not lie, which my son, you know, was meditating on, I guess. But not just meditating on that, but the law was something that for them, when they looked at their Holy Scriptures, you know, the history of Moses and all those things, they would call it the law. And so, in other words, even this whole narrative portion of Scripture, they would call law. And so, in other words, that this isn't just like thinking about God's law, although that's part of it and we should meditate on that, but the Scriptures as a whole is something that we meditate and engage our hearts with. And it says that you are blessed when we meditate on it day and night. You know, for us, I think when we try to think about this idea of being blessed, a lot of times it's translated as happy. And that's a pretty, you know, decent translation, but it's definitely more than just being happy. This idea of being blessed by God, you know, there's a prayer at the end of every service, the Aaronic blessing, they call it, the Aaronic benediction or whatever, when I give the benediction. I don't know if you guys remember it, but it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and grant you peace. You know, that is really probably one of the ways of looking at what does it mean to be blessed by God. Is that the Lord will keep you. The Lord will make his face to shine on you. In other words, that you would see him and you would know his presence. And that he would grant you grace. And then he would give you peace in this life. You see, this idea of God blessing you is more than just like material blessings. But there's a spiritual anchor to your life. There is this grace and this peace that God puts upon you. And that makes us happy. That makes us feel blessed. And it all boils down to this, is that we know that God is with us. And that when we meditate on Scripture, what happens is that we start to not just know in our head, but we know in our hearts that God is with us. And one of the things that this does is that it will transform us. You know, every once in a while, there's somebody who will come up to me and they'll be very honest and they'll just say, you know, my spiritual life is frustrating. And they'll say because they realize that there's this huge gap between what they know what a Christian should be or what a Christian should feel like or what a Christian should, you know, how they should endure certain things. But when they look at the reality of their Christian life, they see this huge gap between what is described as the Christian life and what is real. And they know that, they can know in their head, you know, I should be forgiving people. I should be patient with people. But man, I just don't have the power to do it. And there's this disconnect. And there you can be a Christian, and instead of becoming more loving, you become more angry, you become more impatient, you become more bitter. And the power of change is not there. And the scriptures teach us that when we meditate on scripture, that God begins to change our hearts, that it's not up to you and for me to change our own hearts, that God changes us. And, you know, there's this lady named Jan Johnson. She loved this phrase. She says, you do the connecting and God does the You do the connecting, God does the perfecting. That as we focus on meditating and being in God's presence and meditating on his truth, that God begins to change and to mold our hearts. It's not up to us to just to try harder, to beat ourselves up. It's really about us connecting with God day and night, meditating on his word. And when we do that, God begins to create a new freedom in us that releases us from our idols and the things that we can't get over. You know, and the Psalms also teach us that there's a stability that comes with meditating on scripture. I don't know if you guys saw it. It says that you will be like a tree planted by streams of water. You know, in other words, that in every season, this tree has a water source. Its roots are not only in the firm soil, but it's making contact with life-giving H2O. And there's a constant source. And so no matter what the season, no matter what's going around, what's happening in this to this tree around it, it has a source and it has this power to create an anchor and stability in this tree's life. And as we meditate on scripture, that is what we root our lives on God's word. And then it also says that whatever he does will prosper. And now, you know, I think there is a gentleman named Tim Keller that's like, I really love his teaching. His take on this is not this like health, wealth, gospel thing. Yeah, you know, meditate on scripture and God will provide and you'll never fail at anything. Every business venture will come out perfect. But really this idea of prosperity, like in his, and I thought was very insightful. He said that nothing we do will ever be in vain. That God can redeem our failures, can redeem our victories. God can use it for his purposes, his good purposes, whether it's to teach us, whether it's to grow us, whether it's to just love and be thankful. That whatever we do when we are in God's word, that God will prosper us. So I hope that begins at least to get you guys thinking, like, why would I pass up God's word? Why would I not feed my heart and my soul with God's word? It's crazy not to. It is just foolish when I think about, like, my life when I forget about God's word. I feel like maybe I think in my head I'm too busy for this, but really I need this if I'm busy. I need to meditate and to spend time just being in God's presence. And so I want to encourage you guys that we really focus on this month on meditating on God's word. You know, the next thing that we want to think about is this idea is what is meditation? And well, we are quickly running out of time. But there's a lot of different ways to look at this, and I've provided a kind of dictionary, Hebrew dictionary definition, and I'm going to give you some quotes from a few people. But one of it is the definition, this idea of meditate in the Hebrew is also this idea is to imagine or to devise or to plot or to reflect on. And so in other words, that this idea of meditating, like if you want to look at it from, let's say, like a mad scientist, evil doctor kind of point of view, there's this mad doctor who's obsessing about how to take over the world, let's say, right? And all they can think about is all these strategies, and they're plotting, and they're devising, and they're using their imagination, they're engaging their entire being on how to take over the world, right? So evil kind of view, but that's meditation in a sense. But from a more positive way of looking at it, it's taking that same kind of heart and soul and mind engagement and bringing it to God's word. It's obsessing almost over it. In the scriptures, it said that to delight in his word, to love it, to cherish it, to turn it over in your heart, to think on it, to spend time reflecting on it, bring your imagination to it. And so I know it's very abstract, and we're going to get it more concrete as we go along. And this is just part one. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit more on meditation part two, but I want to give you guys an intro to this. But here's one definition that I've heard. So if you were to bring this to everyday life, one person said that Jan Johnston, in her book Savoring God's Word, said this. She said, meditation is to read a passage slowly and bringing all our mind to the passage in quiet alertness. And I think what we want to really glean from this is this idea of just slowing down our life and to see what stands out to us in God's word. But what's important here is this bringing our mind and our whole being to the passage. Another way of looking at meditation, Tim Keller phrased it this way. He said that meditating is listening to truth in God's, in the presence of God. Listening to truth in the presence of God. See, it's not just reading it and just getting information, but it's reading it and having a sense that God is with you and God is speaking to you and God is saying something to you. You see, the biggest difference for me, at least, when it comes to when God changes my heart or when it's just information, is, you know, when you read something and you just go, okay, I know that I shouldn't lie to my son, okay? You know, and you go, but the reasons for lying are so powerful, right? But when you read scripture and you meditate on it, and then when it becomes a situation where you feel like God is speaking to you and saying, hey, you really need to stop lying, you know? And there's a way when you meditate on scripture, it becomes more than information. It becomes the presence of God speaking into you and really putting his finger on things that need to change in your heart. And it makes all the difference in the world when you read in a way where there's a loving father that is encouraging you and pointing things out in your life and giving you the grace and the strength to start changing. There's this idea of listening to truth in the presence of God. You know, this is a more poetic way of looking at this idea of meditation. And I forget the name of this guy, but he said it this way. He said, meditation is descending with the mind into the heart and ascending by gazing upon the majesty of God. Very poetic, right? But what he's saying is that when we engage scripture, that a lot of times for evangelicals, what we do is we look for information and we look for truths and truth statements and insights. And those are all good and those can help us. But there's a way of knowing God's word more than just in our head, but it's knowing it in our hearts. It's knowing it in a way where we want to obey and to surrender to him. It's knowing by believing and a new conviction in our heart. And then it says, one of the things is that we get this sense of God's glory and his majesty. So I know this is all kind of like general kind of definitions and ways to maybe hang these ideas on. But if I were to summarize this, I think there's some really key things that come up again and again. And one of the things is just slowing down and being fully engaged and reflecting on God's word, just slowing down your life and being completely present with God. And then there's this idea that your mind and your heart believes and integrates and lives out truth. And there's a sense of God's presence and his activity in your life. And that scripture becomes a place where you dialogue with God, that you're speaking to him prayerfully and you hear him speaking to you. Now, I know we're going through this, but we'll unpack it more next week. So what? How do you listen to God? And I'll just give you guys one example. This is by a gentleman named George Mueller. And I know Jimmy loves this guy. Like George Mueller, he's read his biography, so, you know, props to you. But what I know about George Mueller is that he, maybe some of you guys, I think I've shared a little bit about him, but this was a man of faith. He felt God's calling on his life to start an orphanage. And he had like $9 or something like that in his pocket. And he says, okay, I'm going to start an orphanage. You know, and he said, I'm not going to ask people for money. I'm just going to ask God, my Father. Whatever I have in need, I'm just going to ask God, and I'm not going to tell people I need it. And God provided. People were giving him money, and he started an orphanage. There was a story once when they were, the orphans were sitting down to eat, and they had no food. And George Mueller said grace, and a bread truck broke down right in front of the orphanage. And they said, hey, we can't deliver this on time here. Have the bread. You know, pretty crazy, right? So anyway, George Mueller, and there's one thing that he said that he started doing. So the first thing I did after having asked a few words, the Lord blessing upon his precious word, was to begin to meditate on the word of God, searching, as it were, into every verse to get blessing out of it, not for the sake of public ministry of the word, not for the sake of preaching on what I had meditated on, but for the sake of obtaining food for my own soul. The result I have found to be most invariably this, that after a few minutes, my soul has been led to confession or to thanksgiving or to intercession or to supplication. So though I did not, as it were, give myself to prayer, but to meditation, it turned almost immediately more or less into prayer. When thus I have been for a while making confession or intercession or supplication, or have given thanks, I go on to the next word or verse, turning all as it goes on into prayer for myself or others, as the word may lead to it, but still continually keeping before me that food for my own soul is the object of my meditation. So let me just try and summarize that. Basically, he would read a verse, and he would begin to pray the verse. He would allow the verse or God through the Holy Spirit to impress things upon his heart. Whether it was a prayer, the verse would cause him to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. Whether this verse would move him to confess sin or move him to pray for other people or pray for things. What was happening was that he wasn't just in control of Scripture and just like getting information, but Scripture was reading into his life and was nudging him, and that he would respond in prayer to God. And so there's this dialogue that happens when we read and when we meditate, is that we think about it and then we begin to pray it back to God. You know, can you bring up the next slide? So I'm going to give you guys some very practical things before we get out of here in terms of, you know, meditating on God's word. And there's some things that we did last week, those of you guys who were in your small groups, that hopefully kind of helped. But the thing that I really want to encourage us to do this month is, as we go through this word series, is that we want to challenge you guys to spend 30 days in God's word every day. Don't just do your best not to miss a day, right? And one of the things that, you know, Chrissy has actually shared this quite a few times, there's a Bible app or even a website called YouVersion that can help you stay on track. Now, if you don't have a smartphone and you don't like logging on the computer to do your devotions, I gave you guys in your bulletins that little long slip of paper, right? That's a 30-day reading schedule that you guys can take with you. And on the back of that, what I've given you guys is just a basic one way to meditate on Scripture, one way to think about it. And we incorporated that tea time. And we'll elaborate on this a little bit more. But, man, do we need to do this? So this is what the Bible app looks like in the Google Play Store. If you look up YouVersion, or it looks like Life Church Bible or whatever, you'll find it. You can install it. And what you'll see is it'll take you to this. And you want to start plans. You see where it says start plans? you'll click on that, and then it'll ask you to either sign in or sign up, right? Because it doesn't recognize you. So for most of you, you need to sign up, right? So there's my email. Okay, don't spam me. You create a username, password, and then you sign up, right? And then what it does is it takes you to this page. There's different plans and different things. Go to devotionals. When you get to devotionals, we're going to do Our Daily Bread. And when you select Our Daily Bread, it's going to give you a 30-day, a 10-day, 15, 20, 20, okay, 90, whatever. We're going to do 30 days, right? And if this is going over your head or whatever, we're going to do this later. You can go to a laptop or you can just sign up. Some of you guys might be doing it now. I don't know. Please don't. But anyway, 30 days. That's what we're going to shoot for, okay? And we're not going to be like the devotional police and shame on you for missing a day or anything like that, or you have to do 100 push-ups for every day you miss, unless you guys really want to do that. I think some of the guys might actually want to do that. But anyway, we're not going to do that unless you really want to. But anyway, it'll take you to this page, the third day, and it'll give you a word of encouragement, and you hit start plan, and it'll take you to this. Now, you'll see that you can select the devotional content, and you can also select the passage. This is what I want to really encourage you guys to do. Go to Scripture first, okay? Don't read the devotional first. In fact, make the devotional optional, because what we want to do here is to really learn how to just look at God's Word, to meditate on it. And hopefully we can sign up today in our small groups. We're just going to go through the first day devotional together, okay? And we're just going to meditate on God's Word. It'll take you to the Bible verse, and you can read it, and you can meditate on it and think through it. And you can use that thing that I put on the back of your piece of paper that help you through. And then if you want, you can go back, and you can hit the devotional content, and it has a nice story here for you. If you need some more. Now, if you see that little three-line thing in your top left, that is your menu button. If you select that, this will pop out, right? And then there's all these different things you can do. You can do your plans or whatever. One thing that I want to bring your attention to is this idea of notes, okay? If you select it, you can add your first note. You can write, day one, I heard God telling me, dot, dot, dot. And then you can put next, and then it says you can make it, you can make it public or private. I selected private. And then one other thing that you can do, it'll basically get you there. But if you go to the menu and you get to your settings, this is the cool part. You can put a reminder there for you, okay? So that every day at whatever time you want to set it, I'll say, hey, this devotional is waiting for you. God is waiting for you. He's watching you. No, just kidding. Okay, not guilt trip or anything. But anyway, this will help you, and it will remind you to meditate on Scripture. And it could either be in the form of email, or it could be a little notification on your phone. Your app will be running, and it will be encouraging you to meditate on Scripture. We're just completely out of time here, but I didn't get to really elaborate on how to meditate as much, but we'll do that next week. But for now, what I put on the back of that piece of paper should be a pretty good guide for you on how to start meditating on Scripture, and we'll unpack that a little bit more next week. That was more like a workshop, but I hope that was good for us. Just do it. Okay? That's the application. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that this morning, Lord, that we wouldn't let this message just slip by. Lord, I pray that this could be very much a beginning, a very powerful journey for every single person here, that as we begin to meditate on your word, that you would bless us, that you would transform us and change us, that you would bring an anchor, a stability to our life, and Lord, that you would prosper us. And so, Father, we want to trust you and give our hearts to you, and we ask that you would just be sovereign, and Lord, that you would do a good work in all of us. Lord, we give ourselves to you. May you be blessed and honored this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name.